That didn't work very well. You remember these things? This thing is probably from circa 2005, which is what we're talking about today. Star Wars, before they got bad. 1978 to 2012. Long live Star Wars. The expanded universe. The Star Wars of all our childhoods. The Star Wars before the dark times, before the Disney Empire. This is what we're here to talk about today. Well, this is what I'm here to talk about today to Ryan, because I spent my entire childhood learning this stuff. And I'm going to condense it for you and him in hopefully less than an hour. So, what is the Star Wars Expanded Universe? Well, the Star Wars EU was loosely begun in around 1978 with Alan Dean Foster's Splinter of the Mind's Eye, which was a spin-off book of A New Hope, which I believe was effectively a sequel adventure, which the characterizations are weird compared to the movies. The plot doesn't go anywhere that Empire did. Empire basically retconned the whole thing, but it started a trend of Star Wars spin-off material adjacent to the movies. Some of it's considered quote-unquote canon, others not so much, largely forgotten. So the expanded universe, George Lucas has reportedly said, okay, here's an interview, a quote of him from Starlog number 337. He says, "I don't read that stuff. I haven't read any of the novels. I don't know anything about that world. That's a different world than my world, but I do try to keep it consistent. The way I do it now is they have a Star Wars encyclopedia. So if I come up with a name or something else, I look it up and see if it already has been used. When I said other people could make their own Star Wars stories, we decided that, like Star Trek, we would have two universes. My universe and then this other one. They try to make their universe as consistent with mine as possible, but obviously they get enthusiastic and want to go off in other directions." So the Star Wars Expanded Universe began a lot more loose in those early days. In the 70s and 80s, it could be anything from Lucasfilm-produced projects like the Star Wars Holiday Special or the two Ewoks movies made for TV, Caravan of Courage and Battle for Endor, or the Droids cartoon. But it could also be more user-made things like Star Wars role-playing games and board games, which I guess were produced by more big game companies, but it still wasn't Lucasfilm pushing it out. They also had Marvel comic book series, which once again, the continuity of these things was all pretty up in the air at the time, and George Lucas could retcon it anytime he pleased, and he did. But it wasn't until the late 80s where Lucasfilm started working more closely with these creatives in the Star Wars universe to try and get a more cohesive world going together, where writers would have to confer with Lucasfilm, and George Lucas had the final say on everything, basically. If they wanted to kill off major characters, if they wanted to do big universe-altering events, George had to sign off on that, and so did the Lucasfilm story group. And for all the writers out there across so many different mediums, across books, comic books, video games, just audio dramas, you name it, whatever was out there for Star Wars, they somehow managed to keep mostly cohesive from around the late 80s until the expanded universe was dissolved by Disney in the early 2010s after they purchased Lucasfilm and restarted with their own continuity. Which I should mention up front, all this stuff is branded by Disney as Legends. Maybe you or others have heard of the Legends banner. Maybe you'll see old Star Wars books with the Legends title on them. That's what these are. They're the Star Wars universe before Disney erased it all and basically started their own canon from scratch. So now we're into the late 80s, and the big kicker for Star Wars expanded content came with 1991's Heir to the Empire by Timothy Zahn. And he produced a trilogy which would go on to effectively be considered the de facto episodes 7, 8, and 9 until the actual movies came out 20 years later, which were Heir to the Empire, Dark Force Rising, and The Last Command. So most of the 90s was mostly stories based during the original trilogy or mostly after the original trilogy, during the New Republic era, where the Jedi Order was being rebuilt, the New Republic was being rebuilt, and they were dealing with Imperial remnant and new threats to the status quo. And this was a lot because George was developing his prequel trilogy, and he mandated that nothing before A New Hope was allowed to be written. So all these different writers were just coming up with ideas for stuff post-Return of the Jedi, really. And then the prequel era started coming out, and then we started getting a whole new slew of content set before, during, and after the different prequel movies. We got novelizations of them. We got more backstory. We got a whole ton of Clone Wars-based content, which I'll definitely get into more. So this was the era I grew up in, mostly. A whole bunch of new video games. And then they also started expanding the eras to crazy new places, thousands of years before and after the movies. The Star Wars universe got way opened up in ways never thought before, just during the movies. So, like I said, these tended to fall into certain tiers. There was, the top tier was G canon, which was George's canon. That was the original six Star Wars movies, the Clone Wars cartoon, and anything George oversaw directly. That was the be-all and end-all of Star Wars, and could at any time overwrite stories in the expanded universe. And then there were lower tiers. There was just regular C canon, which was what the story group tried to keep cohesive across all these different mediums. Because these people weren't working directly with Lucasfilm, as far as I know. Like, they weren't working for Lucasfilm. They were just doing, effectively, fan fictions that George Lucas signed up on and managed to keep consistent. So the expanded universe was just this very creative and just all different versions of Star Wars in different mediums by a lot of diverse voices who were fans of the franchise and just got lucky enough to be greenlit for what me and many others considered official continuity for the longest time. Before I start answering some of your questions here, I will put out a disclaimer that I'm not an expert on this universe. A lot of these things I haven't read myself, like, especially the books. I know most of the general stories because I spent most of my childhood learning who all the expanded universe characters were. I've at least heard of them. I know generally what went on in most of the eras, but there's a lot I haven't consumed, and I definitely need to get brushed up on that. Like, the Heir to the Empire trilogy is the one that is probably the biggest gaping hole in my Star Wars knowledge, which is shocking because that's such a big deal. But I know a lot about a lot of this stuff, but I definitely don't know everything. So I'm sorry to you Expanded Universe fans out there who maybe I'm not the absolute best advocate, but I know enough to to start sharing here, get some people on the bandwagon. And what I will say from my perspective here is I was never more invested in Star Wars than when the expanded universe was alive and well during the 2000s. I spent my entire childhood learning every detail about this world, reading up on all the stories. Wikipedia was one of my favorite places. It was just a very comforting world to live in. Star Wars was fun. It had so many different kinds of stories. The connection was intricate and mostly well thought out. Yeah, there was a lot of garbage in there, but it was made with care and love for the most part. And I could feel the writer's passions, and I loved so much about it. And that's why when Disney took over and their first move was to scrap the expanded universe, that put a sour taste in my mouth immediately. We were 3 years out from any new movie, and already I was bitter about all this because I'd spent how long at that point? I don't know, let's say I started consuming Star Wars seriously at 3 years old, maybe. So I spent a solid 13 years of my life learning all the details of this story world, only to say overnight that it doesn't count anymore. Too bad for you. And I've never been as invested in Star Wars as a franchise again. I've watched the movies, I've watched the shows, but forget reading all the expanded content. I haven't bothered to read any of the Disney canon expanded content, their books, their comics, their... I played a couple of the video games. I'm starting to get back into it now after 12 years of bitterness. But it took a long time. I'm sure they got a lot of new fans, but they also made a lot of old fans butthurt like me. Even though I was only 14, they kind of lost me right away. But yeah, do you have any questions before I go on with some further explanation?
It was more about like certain characters, but we haven't gotten to there yet. So sure. I don't have many questions, if I'm being honest. You go ahead. We'll get to them.
We'll get to them. Okay. Well, I think a good place to start prompting you is to explain what the different eras of Legends look like. I'll just run through them quickly and then we'll go over them one by one. And I'll tell you some of the best stories from them. So the first era here is before the Old Republic. So that's about 30,000 to 25,000 years before the Phantom Menace. And then we have the Old Republic era, which is about 25,000 years to 1,000 years before the Phantom Menace. And then we have the Republic era, which is about 1,000 years before the Phantom Menace, up to around Revenge of the Sith. And then the Empire era, Revenge of the Sith to Return of the Jedi. Then the New Republic, New Jedi Order era, which is where stuff like The Mandalorian and Ahsoka is set now. And then the Legacy era, which is a couple hundred years after Return of the Jedi. Those were the key eras of Star Wars Expanded Universe along a timeline that generally was divided by based on, they called it ABY and BBY. The Battle of Yavin was sort of year zero of Star Wars, which I guess is a nice nod to A New Hope being the movie to start it all. So the Star Wars universe is effectively thousands of years before the Battle of Yavin and after Battle of Yavin. So the timeline effectively goes 30,000 years BBY to a couple hundred years ABY. So any questions on that?
Which one is Kyle Katarn?
New Republic, New Jedi Order.
Right. Okay. I was trying to tie in like Acolyte and like Old Republic in some way, but I can't think of one right now.
The Acolyte. Yeah. See, The Acolyte is a weird one. And this is one of the moves Disney's actually interested me in with. The Acolyte is set in an era called the High Republic, which this is getting into Disney canon, not expanded universe stuff. But the High Republic is set about 300 years before The Phantom Menace, which is an era the expanded universe never really covered. They covered a lot of Old Republic stuff, but not a whole lot within a couple hundred years of Phantom Menace during that time where the Republic was crumbling and getting politically corrupt. So that's why The Acolyte's interesting to me, is because it's an era that I'm not that familiar with. They're not just trying to do a worse version of the Old Republic that I remember from my youth. They're actually starting an original era they made that wasn't really that covered before in the 30 years of old expanded material. So that's why it's exciting, actually, to have a fresh era of Star Wars that I don't have any baggage attached to. But when you talk about Kyle Katarn, I got to talk about the New Republic, New Jedi Order era just a little bit. And this is part of the reason, a large part of the reason the sequels bothered me so much is because right away from Force Awakens, I watched it with an open mind. I was very happy when that movie came out. But even during the movie, keeping in mind, I was already butthurt for 3 years that they scrapped all the expanded universe. As I was watching Force Awakens, I couldn't help but be struck by the fact that so many of the characters and plot lines, I could pull one for one out of the old expanded universe. I could predict the outcome of the movie based on, yep, I've read this before. I've seen this story before, but done better. I know Kylo Ren is supposed to be Jason Solo, Han Solo's son, who was a Jedi, who was an apprentice of Luke Skywalker, who turned to the dark side. Rey was supposed to be Jaina Solo, who in the old expanded universe was Han's daughter, which is why she had such a close relationship with Han Solo in the Force Awakens. And she's the one who fought her brother. And Finn was supposed to be Kyle Katarn, the former stormtrooper who, at least in the, Finn was a former stormtrooper who they teased having potential Jedi capabilities and could get trained. Kyle Katarn, that just was the story. He was a former stormtrooper who discovered he had Force abilities and ended up in Luke's Jedi Academy. And he became basically Luke's right-hand man and one of the best masters at the Academy. He did the full arc from stormtrooper to mercenary to Jedi. And even Rise of Skywalker with the Palpatine clone arc, I believe that was just Dark Empire. There was a whole arc where Palpatine revealed himself to have a whole bunch of clones and Luke Skywalker had to go fix all that. Last Jedi, I don't think pulled as much from things in the expanded universe, but Force Awakens and Rise of Skywalker, I can 100% tell you they were just worse versions of stories I read as a kid. Like, I know exactly what they're doing here, and it's just an inferior version. These other characters in the old books had so many more adventures to draw from, so much more depth given to them, time to flesh out their arcs. I really think the Kyle Katarn and Finn comparison is the most glaring to me, where I'm like, I can tell exactly you were trying to just do your version of Kyle Katarn, but it lacks so much depth. Kyle Katarn had multiple games, the Dark Forces games in the 90s, where he was the protagonist, and his arc from, once again, from Stormtrooper to Jedi was, it had time to breathe, and you get to see him be a Jedi Master. One of my favorite games is the Jedi Knight, Jedi Academy, where you don't play as Kyle Katarn, but you play as Kyle Katarn's apprentice, and he's your wisecracking master who helps you along your path to fight the Imperial Remnant and whatnot. one of my all-time favorite Star Wars games. But yeah, Finn never hoped to have any of that kind of depth in the movies they got. It's just sad because there was a lot of potential. Mind you, I'm sure there's a lot of people who say Kylo Ren is a better version of Jason Solo, because there's a lot of people who weren't happy that Jason Solo turned dark side at the time. They liked him as a light side guy, which I guess is an interesting parallel. We see more of Jason Solo on the light side and people prefer that version of him. We see more of Kylo on the dark side and people prefer that version of him. So they're kind of, you get a good character if you combine them both, but I think Jason had more depth at the time. Kylo Ren's just the best version of the old expanded universe, but I could still tell he was a ripoff. To me, it clicked in the scene when he said he was the son of Han Solo. I'm like, okay, grandson of Darth Vader, son of Han Solo, I know who you are. And now I know exactly who Rey and Finn are supposed to be, too.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a lot of love, scrap and repeat there, I guess.
Yep.
Okay. Who's Mara Jade?
Mara Jade is Palpatine's daughter. And so Luke Skywalker. Well, I guess they did sort of draw from Mara Jade to make Rey in a way. Rey is Palpatine's granddaughter, but Mara Jade, once again, don't quote me on everything, because I'm drawing a lot of this on stuff from 20 years ago. I learned a lot of this and I stopped reading a lot over 10 years ago, but I'm 90% sure Mara Jade was the Emperor's daughter. I know 100% that she started off as Empire, and she was in the Imperial Remnant, and then she fell in love with Luke Skywalker and married him, and they had a son together, which I know that's an element of the expanded universe George never cared for. He never liked the idea of Luke Skywalker getting married and having a son with Mara Jade. But that was also a big thing of the expanded universe, was Luke Skywalker learned from the Jedi's mistakes. He learned that this fear of attachment and prohibition of it is what led Anakin down his path to the dark side and would destroy all the Jedi. So when Luke rebuilt his order, attachment was encouraged. He got married, he had a kid, other Jedi got married as well. It was a more emotionally forward-thinking order that he recreated. And in this continuity, Luke Skywalker would go on to be the best Jedi who ever lived. Maybe a little overpowered in some's eyes, but in the expanded universe, Luke Skywalker basically became what Anakin would have been if he'd ever lived up to his full potential as the Chosen One, if he hadn't lost so many body parts and become more machine than man. Luke Skywalker of the expanded universe was, well, he was the new hope. He was the guy, the greatest hero of the Star Wars universe has ever seen. He got to be that legendary Luke that the sequels hinted that he kind of started doing. But I didn't need to see a Luke this powerful on screen.
Then he became old and sad.
Yeah. I didn't need to see a Luke this powerful on screen. But this is my preferred version of Luke Skywalker, the one who rose above what came before. He learned lessons from the old masters, what to do, and more importantly, what not to do. And he rebuilt a better, more stable Jedi Order from the ground up and continued saving the galaxy. And he never did give up. He kept doing that. He helped beat back the Imperial Remnant and Thrawn and later the Yuuzhan Vong and other Dark Jedi and Force users who cropped up over the years after that. So, and Han and Leia as well, they didn't end up, they had happier endings too. They ended up getting married and having three kids who, okay, mind you, tragedy did strike. Their one son went evil. Their other son, Anakin, the youngest one, he died at a certain point. So Jaina was the only one who made it out. But they were still a happy couple. They didn't get divorced and split up over the years. And Han just went back on 30 years of character development. And like, no, they moved forward. They stayed as generals in the New Republic, helping rebuild the order, helping rebuild democracy. Leia became an important politician, fighting to reunite the galaxy. And they all had, all the original characters had very important roles to play in the expanded universe. They were the heroes still. Because once again, this was like, the sequels were just, okay, it's 30 years on now and we don't want a bunch of 60 and 70 year olds being the lead of our movie. So we have to push a new generation of heroes that we created onto the masses. But back when the expanded universe was a thing, the movies were only 15 years old, not even. Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, and Harrison Ford, they were only in their 40s, if even. So the idea of sequels still seemed, with them as the main leads, still seemed more feasible at the time. And Heir to the Empire trilogy and the New Jedi Order stuff, this is Luke, Han, and Leia a little more experienced, but they're not old. They're still in their prime. They're rebuilding the order. Their story is just continued. It's just straight on. This is it. Like, episode six ends, and then they just keep going. And the new stuff is sort of ignoring that story out of necessity because time's passed and you'd have to recast if you want them that age again. But if you ever wanted to see, and okay, that's the other problem, right? Because you have to look at stuff like The Mandalorian and Ahsoka. They're doing their New Jedi Order stuff at Disney, and they're not doing it that poorly. I mean, I do enjoy those shows for the most part. But you can tell it's very glaring when they have to go out of their way to avoid Luke, Han, and Leia. And they brought in Luke a few times, but it always feels like, ooh, this is, like, I like this, but this is weird. Whereas in the old ones, it was just, it was novels and comic books, and like, it just told the story. It was rebuilding the galaxy with Luke, Han, and Leia front and center, the way it always should have been. These are the stories you expected in your head before the sequels came out and probably would have preferred to see. And if you like the sequels, well, good on you, they're there. But to me, the expanded universe is still my headcanon for how things went post-Return of the Jedi. Because it's more focused on the things I want to see. Characters got happier endings. They still got pushed. But they also faced more diverse threats. The Imperial Remnant was just a part of it for a while. But then threats like the Yuuzhan Vong showed up from a whole other galaxy. And they're like, and they're basically force resistant. And the Jedi are like, oh crap, we don't know how to deal with this. We can't use the force on these things. And they're just slaughtering people by the millions. This is nuts. And then after that, they have even crazier threats. The Emperor does come back as well. Jason and Jaina have their sort of family civil war thing. Like, there was a lot more going on than just still fighting Imperials. There was a lot more focus on the politics as well of the rebuilding and of Luke's New Jedi Order getting a rocky start. Like one fun story is that I remember is Luke set up his first academy on Yavin 4, but that also happens to be where the spirit of an ancient Sith resided. So this spirit started corrupting some of his students, and he was like, okay, we gotta fix this. Before, so just stuff like that, the movies, like, well, that happened 30 years before the episode 7 was set, so forget it. But that's the kind of stories the book shows. The building of the new Jedi Order. The stuff we wanted to see in a sequel trilogy. And we're sort of getting with the shows now, but they're skirting around it. Except we know in the movies, in their continuity, Luke failed, the new Jedi Order failed, the Imperial Remnant became super powerful, got Starkiller Base, blew everything up. Hooray. Great.
The passion you have for the sequel trilogy really shines.
Yeah. Well, when compared to these, right, I think you might be a bigger fan of the sequels if you never read any of this stuff growing up. But seeing these versions compared to the sequels, even from episode 7, when I did like it, I always knew it was inferior. I was, like, even before my opinion really soured on the trilogy, maybe I never really gave it a fair shot. I was always blinded by the nostalgia of these stories. But personally, these stories were better. They were better for me. They're better for a lot of people. They're just more, they're cohesive. They're well told. The characters have a lot more depth. It's what I wanted to see happen. And I understand. I think maybe the fact that these stories existed is why the sequels ended up the way they did. Because you would have just been adapting these stories if you told the sequels the way I wanted to see them. The whole reason they scrapped the expanded universe was because it had become so burdensomely huge and well-developed that Disney felt they couldn't do anything original within its framework. So it was either build on 30 years of continuity and piss people off, or really piss off the small subset that consumed all of that and then just start from scratch. Which, as a business decision, I understand. They piss me off, but the majority of Star Wars fans just watched the movies. They didn't care. They got a clean slate that they wanted. So, yeah. I understand why the sequels, and the sequels stole a lot from the expanded universe, but they also had to keep people like me guessing, so they went in a very different direction with them, a very ill-thought-out direction, but they were just trying so hard not to be heir to the Empire. Yeah.
Nice. Wow.
Yeah.
Is there, like, a character that you could foresee from Legends be brought into the Disney canon now? Or is it, like, almost too far gone?
Oh, no. This happens. It happens literally all the time. I feel like half the new shows that come out, I recognize somebody who was in Legends or was name dropped. Thrawn is the biggest. By far. The fact that he showed up in Rebels at all was amazing, and then became the main villain of Rebels in seasons 3 and 4. That was Dave Filoni being like, hey man, guys, we understand you loved Thrawn. He was, after the Emperor died, he was the main threat post Return of the Jedi for a while. He's not a Force-sensitive guy. He's just a master tactician who's so charismatic and smart that he nearly crumbled the new Jedi Order and the new Republic with his critical thinking. And we love this guy so much, we're going to bring him into Disney canon. It's, you know, Heir to the Empire, the sequels are in motion. Heir to the Empire is not going to happen. Sorry, guys. Even though they're sort of setting it up now with The Mandalorian and Ahsoka, their own version of it. Digress. Okay, we'll throw a younger version of him in Rebels. See him in his peak Imperial days. Legends fans like me, we respected that. I love guys like Thrawn. They also brought in... I'm trying to remember now. They brought in... Basically just in the Dave Filoni stuff. Whatever Dave Filoni does, he tries to throw us a bone every once in a while. Actually, okay, yeah. There was also, in The Last Jedi, I remember there was a visual dictionary that showed different elements of the set design. And I believe they showed in Luke's hut there was a crystal which belonged to someone the visual dictionary called the Jedi Crusader. And us Legends fan know that's a reference to Revan, who was like, okay, well, yeah, you were the Jedi Crusader. We're like, that was your thing. So they didn't name drop him, but just an element of set design and a one-off line from the Disney canon visual dictionary was like, okay, so you didn't say Revan's canon, but you're also kind of referenced that. So cool. And, well, let's see. Star Wars The Clone Wars, they season 6, which I think was also...
They did Bane.
Which that one was like right after Disney bought them. So that one's a little weird. But okay, they canonized Bane. Cool. So... yeah, I'm having trouble thinking of more examples, but I mean, okay, once again, I'll even skip back to the sequels, right? Like, Rey, Finn, and Kylo are effectively adaptations of those characters from Legends. That's all right. I'm trying to think of other people, because I swear there's been stuff, but... yeah, it does happen. So yeah, for sure. I'm sure there'll be more that show up in some form or another. Like, I'd be surprised if Mara Jade didn't show up eventually, or some version of her. It'll probably be, every time they show up, they'll probably be very, very different than the versions we got, especially if it's post-Empire. I can see them being a little more respectful of the stuff from the prequel era, but... yeah.
Yeah. All right.
They'll be back.
Cool. Let's see. What's been like, what was like the one story plot line that you wish, that you love the most, that you hate that it's cut now? Like the one that's like, this is so good, this is on par with the movies.
And Knights, it's like, of the it Old sucks Republic. That not... Well, okay. If you're asking me what am I most upset was cut, all the New Republic, New Jedi Order stuff. I don't like how they handled Han, Luke, and Leia in the sequels. I prefer my headcanon for post Return of the Jedi to be like all that stuff. But also I quite enjoy The Mandalorian and Ahsoka, so I don't mind throwing that into my headcanon as well. Even the Book of Boba Fett is fine. I don't really remember what he got up to in the EU. Basically, scrap the movies, keep the TV shows, and the books. That's like my headcanon. But Knights of the Old Republic, I think, is the biggest loss. Although, Disney have always been very, very vague about where they stand on that. Because it's set 4,000 years before The Phantom Menace. So they've always been like... they never done anything that even touches the era, is the thing. So they've always been like, well, it might not, because it doesn't contradict anything that's going on now. But they also haven't said it's for sure still cemented. So yeah, that's my twofold answer. If we're talking to like, what would I have them do now instead? The sequels. What would I have just be in the universe in general? KOTOR. 1 and 2.
All right, sick. Do you think it's too late for people to look on these legend projects to enjoy them because of how far, or just because of the cancelization of their canonness? That's even a word?
No, it's definitely not too late to hop on to these. Because, see, the thing about franchising is that at a certain point, there's just so much Star Wars out there right now. And you can call terms like canon whatever you want. But at the end of the day, I think Star Wars fans just want good Star Wars stories. And I know the Disney stories ain't cutting it for people. So if you can keep continuity out of your mind and just look for some of the best stories Star Wars has ever produced, I think on par, better than stuff Disney's produced, look to the expanded universe. Read, and once again, mind you, I haven't read or played them all, but, you know, read stuff like Heir to the Empire, read the Plagueis book. People love that one. The Darth Bane trilogy. Play Knights of the Old Republic 1 and 2. The Force Unleashed. Do all that stuff. It's still out there. It's still great. And if you prefer Disney canon, fine. You can still enjoy it. That's why Disney keeps re-releasing the books and just rebranding them as Legends, because they know they're good. And Star Wars fans would be upset if you could never see them again. It's good that they're out there just to be like, okay, this is a good Star Wars story. Just the fact that it's not quote unquote in continuity anymore shouldn't make a difference to your enjoyment. You want good Star Wars or don't you?
Fair. Now this is the only Legends character I know, because this is the one I grew up with. Why can't Starkiller just be in in canon?
Because, Ryan, he's overpowered. What I like, this is one of my favorite examples of, in Disney canon, they made an entire faction to do what Starkiller did on his own, which is the Inquisitors. Force Unleashed, you're basically just a one-man Inquisitor team taking out all the remnants of the Jedi. And it's super fun. But I understand that that's one of those few changes in Disney canon where I'm like, okay, the Inquisitors make more sense than just one overpowered apprentice of Vader taking out all rogue Jedi. Okay, as a power fantasy in 2008, super fun to play through. For a continuing franchise where you want to do more in this era, okay, I'll give the Inquisitors a pass. They have stupid lightsabers, but they make more sense.
Yeah, but Sam Witwer, though, live action, be cool.
They still, you know what? Sam Witwer still got to be.
They would have to depower him, but you know.
Sam Witwer still got to be Maul, at least, so.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh. It'd be very fan servicey, and they'd have to depower him like a max level of like 10 power levels.
That's why I don't want to see it. That's why I don't want to see it. They could throw in Galen Merrick as just one Inquisitor. But we already know what happens to the Inquisitors. So you're going to depower Starkiller enough that he's just one of the Inquisitors, and then you're probably going to kill him off. Would anyone enjoy that? I'd rather they just leave Galen Merrick out of it entirely at that point. It's like, well, why do you even bring it in Starkiller if you're just going to do him like that? It's sad, but that's one of those things I'm happy still just exists in the old EU. I don't want to see it brought in. I don't need it. I'm happy it happened.
Yeah. I guess. I don't know. Just like my dream confrontation or lightsaber fight is like Starkiller versus Ahsoka. Like the two different apprentices of Anakin Skywalker / Darth Vader would be sick. However, if we're going canon Starkiller, he's probably wiped the floor with Ahsoka. Depending what time they fight at, but
I was also hoping that he might be, what's that character's name? Marek? In Ahsoka?
The Ahsoka show.
I remember that theory getting floated that he was one of the early versions of the Knights of Ren, which also would have been cool.
Yeah, because Sam Witwer was credited in the end of like the first or second episode as like additional voices. Mm. So like people were theorizing hard that it was Starkiller.
Yeah. So, what else have I not covered yet. Well, before doing a little bit of research for this episode, I didn't realize consciously how many of the old YA novels I read were by Jude Blundell, a.k.a. Jude Watson. I remember the three Star Wars series she did. I just didn't remember they were all by the same person. There was the Jedi Apprentice series, Jedi Quest, and Last of the Jedi. So Jedi Apprentice was a series set, there was like 10 novels in that series, in each of these series. So these are like 30 novels she did. The Jedi Apprentice series is set before The Phantom Menace. It starts with Qui-Gon taking Obi-Wan as his apprentice. And it's their relationship building and all their Jedi peacekeeping adventures before Phantom Menace. And then there was the Jedi Quest series, which was basically the same thing, but with a young Obi-Wan and Anakin. And that bridged the gap between episode 1 and 2. And then there was the Last of the Jedi series, which started off with Obi-Wan as the protagonist, but then transitioned into a character named Ferris Olin. And that was trying to gather up the Last of the Jedi, some surviving younglings and whatnot. So that was basically, the Last of the Jedi series is effectively what they based the first bit of Kenobi on, except it was a better kickoff from what I recall. Like this was a Kenobi who was actually still active in the Galactic Empire scene. It's like, okay, well, leaving my post doesn't sound that great, but if I'm going to find another surviving Jedi, maybe there's a chance. That's how I remember it. It was more, he was more willing to go out and have adventures again. So I also remember the Kenobi book being really good. That wasn't written by Jude Blundell, but that was a cool one. I loved the cover of that book because I believe it was the dust jacket was like a artistic representation of Hayden Christensen and Ewan McGregor. And when you took off the dust jacket, the actual cover of the book was the same pose of Anakin and Obi-Wan clashing blades, except it was Vader and Alec Guinness. So it was...
That's pretty cool.
That book basically bridged Obi-Wan's story from 3 to 4. And I recall it being good. The thing I remember most about that book, actually trying to think about it more, was the scene where he ran into a former Jedi who was also a Tusken Raider, who was just living with the Tuskens on Tatooine. I think he was originally a Tusken.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, and he'd gone bad. What else? Question me.
Why are people so obsessed with Darth Revan?
Okay. Well,
go off.
As someone obsessed. Okay. I don't know how much to answer this without spoiling Knights of the Old Republic, so I'll try to abridge it, at least the parts where Knights of the Old Republic come into play. All right. So, Revan, I'll give you the nutshell version after the longer explanation, but Revan's story is effectively, he was a young Jedi. He was just, you know, he was a regular Jedi apprentice. Like a pretty good student, mind you. One who was super obsessed with knowledge of the Force, and he wanted to learn all the darker, hidden secrets that the Jedi Council kept hidden away for more experienced learners. So he was just a really knowledge-hungry person, even as a youth. And then the Mandalorian Wars started. The Mandalorians start laying siege to the Outer Republic worlds, and the Republic goes off to fight them. They're getting slaughtered. It's bad. But the Jedi Council says, nah, we're not going to help. They pull the Mace Windu. We're keepers of the peace, not soldiers. We're not getting involved in Republic Wars. But all the young apprentices, like Revan, were like, but Republic citizens are getting slaughtered out there. We need to go. We should go help them. No, we have the power to do that. Why aren't we going to help? And the council is like, nah, we sent something sketchy out there. We're going to deliberate this. We might help, but be patient. So then Revan and his best friend Malak and a whole bunch of the other young Jedi, they rebel. Revan basically led a rebellion against the council and basically said, screw you guys, we're going to help. So he took a bunch of the young Jedi and went off to the Outer Worlds to go fight the Mandalorian hordes. And Revan established himself as a master tactician on the battlefield. He was a great warrior. And he managed to push the Mandalorians back to the Outer Rim. And he defeated Mandalore the Ultimate in one-on-one combat. And he pushed the Mandalorians into the unknown regions. And then he gave chase. I'm also kind of conveniently ignoring the part where they used a genocide weapon against the Mandalorians, but like, okay, that's a thing. That's more of a Knights of the Old Republic 2 plot point. So they chase the Mandalorians into the unknown regions, and then he disappears for like a decade. And nobody knows what happened to him and Malak and his army. Okay. And then they come back and attack the Republic. Jedi Malak and Revan are Sith Lords now, and they are waging a galactic war against the Republic with never-before-seen technologies. And they're like, what the shit is this? Where did you guys come from? Why are you're former Jedi. Why are you Sith now and attacking us? What did you find in the unknown regions to turn you like this? They found the ancient remnants of the old Sith Empire, who gave them some technologies and some information. So Revan's whole thing was he was trying to find these star maps, which was the remnants of the ancient Rakatan Empire, who were one of the first known Force-sensitive beings, and they left these maps across the galaxy to this big super weapon, which Revan was trying to find. But then, Sith being Sith, Malak attacked Revan in the middle of a very important battle and pretty much killed him, presumed dead, for the longest time. This is where we start getting into spoilers for Knights of the Old Republic. If you haven't played a 20-year-old game, I'm sorry. But basically, the story of Knights of the Old Republic is Revan got amnesia from when Malak attacked him. And the Jedi, there was this Jedi strike squad that was boarding his ship at the same time. So they saved Revan, and they didn't sever his connection to the Force, but they made it a lot weaker. And he happened to have amnesia, so then they just kind of dropped him out into the world. And they're like, okay, he's not a problem. We have a war going on, and Revan absolutely has no idea who he is. It doesn't matter. So you're playing the game as just this random mercenary who discovers he has Force powers. And in the canonical ending, he becomes a Jedi again and goes and fights Malak and saves the day. And then Malak's like, the Jedi didn't tell you who you are, did they? And you're like, what the shit? And this is like the second best twist in Star Wars next to I Am Your Father. But Malak's like, no, you're Revan. And this is when the gamer has their mind blown, because they're like, you mean like everyone in the game since the very beginning is talking about Revan the entire time, and like this warlord who brought the Republic down to its knees, who like the most evil guy, and I'm him after playing all this. So then he defeats Malak and then goes back off into the unknown regions and just disappears. And effectively, this is why people like me go nuts over Revan, is because he's an anomaly in Star Wars. Revan was one of the best Jedi ever, who turned to the dark side and became one of the best Sith ever. He brought Mandalore the Ultimate to his knees on one-on-one combat as a Jedi. He beat the Mandalorians as a Jedi warrior, the Jedi Crusader. And then as a Sith, he brought the Republic to its knees, established a whole new Sith order, started training camps on Korriban, started a whole Sith army of dark Jedi, very charismatic. He was great. But then he got redeemed, and he didn't die after he got redeemed. He lived again to save the Republic again from the army he created and became one of the best Jedi ever a second time, and then lived to tell about it. So that is why Revan is amazing. He was the best Jedi, and then he was the best Sith of his era, and then he was the best Jedi again. He saved the Republic, he doomed the Republic, and then he saved it again from the threat he created. All within, like, 15 years.
Yeah, that's pretty sick. I kind of knew most of that, but I just wanted to hear you say it again.
I love telling the story of Revan.
Yeah, he's a great character. Sucks that they canceled the remaster of that to the Old Republic.
This is another time I'm okay with the original just being the original. But you know what? KOTOR 2 is even more interesting than that, actually. Do you know the story of KOTOR 2? It's not a story Disney would tell you. So KOTOR 2 is about Revan's top general, Mitra Zurich. And her thing is she starts off completely disconnected from the Force. She's starting to regain her Force connections, but you find out that super weapon that I talked to you about earlier, that super weapon was basically like a mass genocide machine, and it caused such a loss of life that Mitra Zurich somehow managed to cut herself off from the living Force, which had never been done before. It's like, how do you exist outside of the Force? Like, the Force is a part of all living things, and you separated yourself from it. How is that even possible? How are you still alive? So it's about Mitra Zurich regaining her connection with the Force after another Jedi purge, and Revan's gone, and now she's got to gather people up, become a Jedi again. And I don't even want to get into spoilers on this one because it's less well known, and this game is the ultimate in Star Wars philosophy. This is what The Last Jedi wanted to be. The entire story is just about, it's about the gray of the Force. It's not about the light. It's not about the dark. It's about, how do you exist as someone in a very gray universe? You go all light side playthrough, people take advantage of you. You let bad things happen sometimes. The character, like, there's no right decision as a light side player. But as a dark side player, you're just regurgitating old problems. You don't want to go down that path either. So Knights of the Old Republic 2 exists in the gray entirely. There's darker Jedi, there's sympathetic Sith, and it goes for a plot point I've never seen. Like, the major plot is something I've never seen done before in Star Wars. It's still very unique to this day. It's very hard to talk about that one without getting into spoilers, but it's just, the character work is excellent. The dialogue is some of the best I've ever seen in Star Wars, in Knights of the Old Republic 2. It's not like, the atmosphere is just scary. The music chills me to the core. That game is just, it's an experience for Star Wars fans who are looking for something a cut above. It's like if Andor was a video game. You know, it's got like that quality of writing for a Star Wars game. Whereas the first one was more polished, sure, but it was more of a straight action adventure. So yeah, Old Republic, right. That's my jam. Love the Old Republic.
I think I tried to play 2 for the longest time, or I was playing 2 and I was getting really into it. But then I just couldn't. Oh, no, it was Star Wars The Old Republic. It wasn't Knights. It was just The Old Republic, I think.
The MMO. Yeah.
And I just couldn't get into, like, the mechanics of the MMO. I don't know. It was just,
you know why The Old Republic,
like,
I
don't like those types of games where it's just, like, you press one button.
Yeah.
Or it's like you're not even fighting. You're just pressing, like, buttons. Two, like, there's no real skill, it feels like.
The first two are single-player RPGs, so that's a plus on them. The Old Republic is actually fascinating to me. in this general discussion of expanded universe, because as far as I know, it's the only living remnant of the old universe, which is crazy because they're still making updates for that game. They're still making new story patches, new missions. They're still expanding that universe. And the Old Republic is about 300 years after Knights of the Old Republic. But it's just crazy to me how 12 years after Disney scrapped the whole thing, that Old Republic MMO is still a living, breathing expansion to the old Star Wars expanded universe, which as a fan just delights me, even though I haven't played it in a very long time. It's,
Yeah.
It warms my heart. It's still alive and well somewhere.
Yeah, I'm glad it's alive and well. Some places I just could never finish it because I just felt like it was too... It's like MMOs are so grindy, and I don't like grindy games personally. But I enjoyed... It's kind of like Baldur's Gate, where it's like the customization of the character you can do and all the different plot threads you can do, and the RPG mechanics are really, really good. So,
at the people time, like that. I remember them saying at the time it was potentially the most expensive video game ever created. And I'm also pretty confident it set the record for most voice lines in a game, because every character, every NPC was voiced, and there was dozens of unique planets, hundreds of missions and quests, and everybody was voiced, and voiced well too. It wasn't cheap voice acting, or like, I don't know, I'm going to throw like Skyrim under the bus, just the same voice actors over and over. It was like actually unique.
Wow. I see how it is.
Yeah.
Coming after one of my favorite games, eh?
Yeah. So. Another highlight of the expanded universe was Genndy Tartakovsky's 2003 to 2005 Clone Wars 2D series.
I love that series.
Based on the Samurai Jack animation style. It's just action-packed, awesome. Some of my all-time favorite Star Wars moments are in that cartoon. I love the Anakin fight with Ventress. That's the whole reason I know Kit Fisto still is from that scene on Mon Calamari. The General Grievous scene in the Starfighter, still my favorite Grievous moment. When all the Jedi are scared shitless, just hearing him creak around the walls, and then he takes everybody out. Or in the second one, when he's chasing Shaak-Ti, who's trying to capture the Chancellor, and him and his Magna Guards are just chasing them all across Coruscant. It's great stuff.
Yeah, it's great. A lot of the, like the Dave Filoni Clone Wars stuff takes so much inspiration from that micro series. Yeah. And
that was the first phenomenal. It was the first real representation of the Clone Wars on screen. That's what it's best known for. And it came out, started in 2003. So, you know, the 3D Clone Wars was 5 years out. And the prequels, 2003, Attack of the Clones had just come out a year previous, and Revenge of the Sith was two, three years away. So, you know, you end Attack of the Clones, begun the Clone Wars have, and then this show comes out. This was the first time where I remember that when it first came out. I remember watching them on Cartoon Network on TV. My family and I were like, wait up late for it, and I saw those live at the time. It was an event. Like, wow, new Star Wars cartoon that's supposed to bridge the gap. It was exciting.
Yeah, I remember seeing them on TV, and then also, this is going to date me, but renting them from Blockbuster. Blockbuster? From, just the box, like season one and two, and then just watching them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have them on DVD.
That was fun.
Still.
Good.
Let's see. Another Old Republic story I love is the story of Darth Bane. He got a trilogy of books. I only read the first two at the time. But that one is pretty awesome because that one's set about 1,000 years before Phantom Menace. And that story is basically what happens in that story is Darth Bane is just like, he gets accepted into the Sith Academy. He has to be the biggest badass at the Academy to even gain a little bit of respect. And then it basically ends with all the Sith of old getting wiped out, and he's one of the only survivors, and he starts the Rule of Two. That's what the first story is about, is just him being the best badass and seeing, all my experience in the Sith Academy tells me a bunch of Sith is a stupid idea. All we do is infight for power, and it gets us nowhere. This is why the Jedi win. So the first story was, I remember it actually being pretty violent for a Star Wars story at the time. I'm like, oh, this is a book more for adults. That's cool. Yeah. Which I respected. Back then they had a lot of YA stuff, which I did read, but a lot of the novels were for adults. I don't think the Heir to the Empire ones were written for YA, like they're adult novels. And even the comic books dealt with more adult themes too. Like, I believe it was the Legacy. Yeah, I forget what it was. I think it's just Legacy something. And that's set a couple hundred years after Return of the Jedi. And those ones were about Luke Skywalker's descendant. And the only thing I remember about those is that he's not a Jedi anymore. He's like a bounty hunter. And Luke Skywalker keeps trying to come to him as a ghost. And Cade Skywalker just, like, he has to take all these different kinds of drugs to keep his mind, just to keep his mind loopy enough that he can't hear the Force ghost. La, 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 not listening, taking drugs. And Luke Skywalker just keeps coming to him like, be it. Stop with the bounty hunter crap. Just be a Jedi, man.
Holy fuck, that's really funny.
Actually, come to think of it, they kind of... Luke Skywalker in Last Jedi is more like Cade Skywalker. Now that I'm thinking about it. So that's another... That's where the Last Jedi
sucking
stole
on
from.
The milk?
Yeah. That's what Last Jedi stole from. I'm going to say that. They stole from Cade Skywalker in the Legacy ones, where he's the reluctant Jedi who doesn't want a Jedi anymore because things went badly. He saw his father killed in front of him. He saw a bunch of his friends die, and then he gave up and started taking drugs and being a bounty hunter, and he was still cooler than old man Luke, though, in the movies. Yeah. Let's see, anything else? Yeah, the that's most of the ones I want to talk about. Those are, I mean, there's 30 years worth of stuff to cover, obviously. I haven't played most of the video games or read the novels or anything, but those are just the main storylines between all the different eras. Between the Old Republic, the Republic, the Empire era, the New Jedi Order, New Republic, Post-Republic. That's the expanded universe in a nutshell. Any more questions?
Nice. No, not really. But yeah, I knew most of like the Legends stuff that you talked about. Like, I've heard names throughout the years, and I'm sure I've heard of the stories, like little tidbits here and there, but to fully like hear what these characters were about and what they did and how rich their stories were, it does suck that they just kind of were like, nah. And I used to have the mindset of like, okay, there's 30 years worth of stuff here, all of it being canon. That's a lot. So yeah, they should probably re-canonize some stuff, but they just didn't canon. For a while, they just didn't canonize anything. They're just like, we're just going to do a restart. And that's what sucked. That's what pissed a lot of people off.
I think Thrawn was the first big gimme.
Yeah.
that was the one where it's like, oh, okay. Yeah, that's a major character to bring back. I think Revan would be the next push big for that gimme.
Hard.
Yeah, if they bring back Revan, that's the next big gimme. That's the one everybody wants. A lot of them, especially in the New Republic era, you already kind of overwrote all that, so not much left to do there, but Old Republic is still, you can still fix that if you really want. Actually, no, they did bring Scorch.
So stupid.
I just remembered they brought in Scorch in the Bad Batch. There used to be a Republic Commando series where it was a video game Republic Commandos, which was basically,
I played that.
Yeah, and Scorch was one of the characters in that. He shows up as a character in the last few seasons of the Bad Batch. Mind you, the fans hated what they did with him. They didn't really do much of anything with him, but he was there. He was Scorch. So that's another example of somebody who has shown up from Expanded Universe. But actually, yeah, that's another one. I've heard a lot of people say Republic Commandos was basically just the Bad Batch. And then the Bad Batch was an aped version of that. Just this extremely competent clone commando task force of weird personality clones. Anyway, there was a lot of bad stuff in these universes too. Like, I remember an example is the death of Chewbacca was pretty stupid. You ever hear about that one?
Are you talking about the one where Han and Chewie land on like Earth, and then Han gets killed by natives, and then they think Chewbacca's Bigfoot, and the man hunting him is Indiana Jones.
I think that was a non-canon story. I hope. I don't remember. No, I'm thinking of the where he got killed by the planet falling on him. I think they had to like evacuate somebody, and then he got
what?
And then he got crushed to death by a moon.
That's crazy.
And that was the canon ending of Chewbacca in the Expanded Universe. You know what? Some things. There was a lot of garbage in there. It was 30 years, so many different writers, a lot of garbage, a lot of things people hated. But you know what? I love the good stuff. I'm even nostalgic for some of the bad stuff because I grew up with it before I had critical thinking skills. But, and I haven't revisited them in a while. I probably should. But the Expanded Universe was a good time. It was ambitious. It was definitely more ambitious than Disney. There was all kinds of stories about all kinds of characters. Like, I remember there was like Mace Windu stories, Boba Fett stories, cartoon. Like, think about even just Star Wars video games back in the day. You had Knights of the Old Republic, RPGs. You had like, I remember Empire at War was a fun one that was like a Star Wars strategy game. You had games like the Lego Star Wars games, pod racing games. You had all this kind of variety out there. And now we've, like, under Disney, things are more consistent. I'll give it that. But it's less inventive. Like, how many of the Disney canon is set between episodes 3 and 4? Most of it. It's either set between episodes 3 and 4, like a few years after episode 6, or in the sequel era. They haven't really touched the prequel era at all. The Expanded Universe was a lot more expansive. Like, I just rattled off a lot of the history of the Old Republic, and that wasn't even all of it. There was a lot more to it. Disney's kind of gotten something going with their High Republic era, which I have more hope for going forward. But yeah, they need to expand their Expanded Universe more. Then again, it's still young. And you know what? The old Expanded Universe was going for 30 years. Disney's only gone for, started in 2014, so 10 years. They've done a lot in a third of the time.
Yeah. Well said. So, we'll see. Yeah, this is episode's being recorded the day Acolyte comes out, so or the first episode, I should say.
So yeah, definitely get back to you on that.
We'll see.
So if I convinced you to give any of this, if I convinced you to give any of this stuff a try or a retry.
I mean, I'm probably at one point going to play the Knights of Old Republic game.
I highly recommend that.
I'll probably rewatch the Micro Seers at one point. I don't like to read, but I've been interested to see if I can get into audiobooks, see if that might help.
I'm sure.
But I don't know.
I've heard a lot of people say, like my brother hates reading. Too. He's not, well, he likes reading nonfiction, but he could never get into fiction. But ever since he discovered audio, that's been a, like, it's night and day. He likes stuff a lot more when he can listen to it.
Yeah.
So maybe for you too. So
I might get into that at one point. But yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's Star Wars. I'm always interested in Star Wars. Unless it's Reba.
Yeah. Would you ever play the old video games too?
I remember I've tried out like some of the old video games before. Like I've tried, it's in my Steam. Hold on. Like I've played Republic Commandos. I've played, I think I played Jedi Academy a little bit. I mean, I'm a huge Battlefront guy, but that's not really Expanded Universe.
I mean, there was a story mode.
Yeah. Dark Forces. I think I played that a little bit. Not that much, because I had my laptop at the time and didn't work that great. Dark Forces 2, excuse me, specifically. But yeah, I'll probably try out Knights of the Republic just because of who Darth Revan is and that whole story plot thread.
I kind of like, my experience with it was weird because I kind of enjoyed playing Knights of the Old Republic 2 first, because Knights of the Old Republic 2 sets up a whole lot about Revan and everything he did. It basically tells you the whole story about Revan. So it was kind of interesting doing that and then going back to play number one, where you actually are playing out Revan's story. So it's like, oh, so I got like all this build up before the actual story. But there is something to be said about just playing through the first one. It's a more polished game, like I said. It was more complete. Jedi Knights, Jedi Academy was excellent. That's a Battlefront 2. Those were great as well. Once again, for novels, I haven't really read most of them, but the Bane books I do recommend. I did read those. And I want to read the Timothy Zahn ones. I've heard Star Wars fans say basically anything Timothy Zahn wrote for Star Wars is good. Whether it was his 90s stuff or stuff he's writing with them currently. Because he's still writing books for Disney. He wrote a new Thrawn book a few years ago.
All right, we're still good. Sorry, I keep looking over because I keep looking at 3D printing right now.
Yeah.
Got a project going. Yeah, I mean, it sucks. I'm an adult now, so I don't got time to do all this shit, but I wish I did.
So that's basically my pitch is if you ever want to get into the expanded universe, just reminisce on when Star Wars was more inventive and ambitious. And it doesn't have to be either or with the Disney stuff once again. But if you're ever down on the Disney stuff that's coming out, there's 30 years worth of good Star Wars to go back and find. That's my point.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I can't think of a good question of the week for you this time. Maybe out of all the eras of Star Wars I mentioned, or even including the Disney era, what is the one you'd most like to see explored further? There's the pre-Republic era, old Republic era, High Republic, I guess now, General Republic, Empire, Post-Empire, and way down the line, Legacy.
Oh, man, that's tough. I guess Old Republic. I guess. Like, I feel like bringing that back into live action and into people's, like, just having that be a thing again would be pretty cool for people to see. I don't know. Probably that. Just I think because just to see, like, both the Jedi and the Sith at their peak, I guess, in terms of equal power and all that. And also just, yeah, I enjoy going back to the past and seeing what things were. I don't really want to see anything in the New Republic era anymore. I'm getting sick of it, especially with how they're showing the politicians of the New Republic and how they're all just stupid and it's too real. And I don't know what they would do like 300 years afterwards too. So yeah, do that.
I'm going to go with the extremes. I either want them to go basically right at the beginning with the Jedi or the first people discovering the Force, starting the Jedi, maybe the first schism between Jedi and dark side philosophizers, or extreme after Star Wars. Just leave the originals and the sequels in the purview and just go way out. Like, I know they're doing a Rey movie. I know they're working on a movie about the old Jedi Order around the time I want to be set. So, like, I'm looking forward to that one. But I want to see them move way past. Just get the hell out of Dodge and just get out of the main era of Star Wars. That's my biggest ask.
Yeah,
just,
I agree.
Between episodes 1 to 9, just get out of that area entirely. I don't care where you go. High Republic's a great start. Even the Rey's new Jedi Order is starting to feel far enough away that I'm like, you know what? I didn't really care for Rey, but I'm looking forward to that. Just to, sure, there's no baggage anymore. I don't care. You don't have to prove that much to me now. So even that's a good step, but I want to go even further.
Yeah, go like 5,000 years in the future. Fuck it. Just start new.
Well, so see if
you can be original again, Disney.
You're getting into sketchy territory there, because if you get into 5,000 years, well, then they might have to drop the a long time ago part off of Star Wars. Can you imagine, though?
It's just a galaxy far away.
Can you imagine that? Like, all the marketing is like, oh, it's 5,000 years, and then the opening crawl pops up. A galaxy far, far away. Like, what? Where's the a long time ago part? Oh, yeah. Oh, crap. It's not that long ago anymore. Huh?
Or they should do a joke one where it's like, just last week, around the corner from Pluto.
In a galaxy. Yeah. That sounds like a good opening for a Star Wars parody movie. Just last week, around the corner from Pluto.
Nobody steal that. That's our joke.
Sure. Okay. That's been Star Wars again. We'll talk about Star Wars again soon. Where can we find you?
You can find me at Ryan Walker Official on YouTube, TikTok, and on Instagram.
And you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook at Thought Plane Media. Also, check out the Close Up with Ryan and Joe Facebook page for latest updates on the show. If you listen to us in audio, check out our YouTube channel. And if you're on YouTube, find us anywhere you get your favorite podcasts. We hope to see you on the next Close Up with Ryan and Joe. Till next time, and may the Force be with
you. Take care.
Always.